I'm Ken Duffy, Fox News Radio.
Welcome to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660, your place for biblically informed conversation on issues that matter. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church located at 2020 Gibshoals Road in Greer and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. To find out more about our ministry and how you can make a tax-deductible donation, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. If you have a question or a comment on today's topic, call 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Now, here are the hosts of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
All right, this is Paul Dean with Kevin Bowling. You're listening to Calling for Truth. The turbulence Christian kids face today while at school, on the job, and with their friends is enough to make any mom apprehensive. That's the first line on the recommendation on the back of a book I'm holding in my hand. Lindsay O'Connor says this is a must-read for Christian moms. It's entitled World Proofing Your Kids. It's by Lael Arrington, and I've read through the book, and I want you to know that I highly recommend this book. And we're going to be talking with Miss Arrington herself today on Calling for Truth. We hope you will feel free to join the conversation with questions or comments. We hope our moms are listening, as well as dads, as well as others. And I think it's going to be a good broadcast, Kevin. How about you?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. You know, when I first saw the some of the books that Lael had written, I said that, you know, I was more interested in that Pilgrim's Progress today. She wrote one. And I was so disappointed that Pilgrim's Progress has fallen out of vogue today. You know, not many people are referencing it or reading it at all.
Right.
And I think that that's such a shame. So that was my original interest. But when I saw this book, you know, about world-proofing your kids, I thought, well, here's an excellent topic. We had talked a couple weeks ago about other issues related to this, and we promised the folks that we said that, you know, we're going to try to get you some practical interviews and helps for raising your kids, and I think that this will be an excellent resource for them.
Yeah, I think it will, too. Let's go right to our guest today, our very special guest, again, Miss Lael Arrington. Miss Arrington, are you on the line with us?
I am, and thank you for inviting me, Kevin and Paul. It's great to be on your show.
Well, it's great to have you, and I was just telling Kevin before the broadcast, he and I were both kind of agreeing. We like the cover on this book. And because it's going to be attractive to moms who want to help their kids. But you know what? I think you ought to put another cover on the same book, and you could reach a whole different audience with it, because what you have to say in this book, I think, is a must not only for Christian moms but for Christians in general.
Amen.
Well, thanks. You know, this book was written a few years ago, and so at that time, I don't think that worldview issues were recognized to be as important as they were back then.
Mm-hmm.
And so in discussions with the publishers, it was thought, well, you know, let's make this a book targeted at moms, you know, for the sake of their children. And I actually made adaptations to a more general manuscript for publication. And anyone who's worked with publishing knows that once you sell your baby, you sell the marketing rights, and you get a picture of the cover one day, and there it is.
Yeah, the cover looks a little playful or something. You know, it speaks about being a manual. But, boy, this book is anything but that. I mean, it is very well written, and you quote from a number of different resources. It looks like it's very well researched, and I can't remember the exact number of pages in there, but hundreds of pages. And so for our listening audience, if you get a chance to get this book, you can go out to www.crossway.com. And at crossway.com, you can get a copy of this book, and you are not going to be disappointed. I'm sure it's going to be something that there's plenty of information here for you to chew on.
Well, and of course, this is back to school time when a lot of people are thinking about preparing their kids to encounter the challenges of the broader world.
Yes.
And I think at this time in particular, this book is a real help, especially if, you know, with those that are sending their kids out there and feeling those twinges of concern for their confidence in their faith
right.
and their walk with the Lord. this book can be a help to them. And it has Bible studies at the end of each chapter that can help even a small group discuss and process the contents together and give each other help as fellow travelers on the journey.
Paul was just teaching a group of young people, when he was away at a camp for young people, and he taught them, you know, good, solid, substantial skills about how to evaluate worldviews. Mm-hmm. I'm sure some of these kids went home and said, we've never had a camp like this before.
Yeah.
But he wanted to do that because of these statistics that we read about, that whatever it is, 80% or so when they go to college, you know, can't seem to remember that they had gone through a Christian school or were raised in a Christian home. And
or,
so you're trying to head that off.
For the first time, released from the protective environment of their home and encounter at a greater level of intensity and seduction the attractions of this world. And some of them who know very well what is true find themselves morally tempted and then find themselves in that great tension between what I want to do for fun over here and what I believe in over there. And it's important to to strengthen what they believe, but it's also important to reach their hearts. And it's a challenge. Obviously, when you're working in a marketing program, you're trying to get the best hook possible, and that's why we decided on the title, Worldproofing Your Kids. But as we all know, we can't be the Holy Spirit for our children. Mm. We know they're going to be in places of temptation. So we can do our best to equip them with the evidence and reasons that their faith is true. But beyond that, and I have a chapter in this on worldproofing, the most important thing is that our love and passion for God is contagious in their lives, and that we pass on to them the flame of that God who is so passionate about us and that larger kingdom story that he wants us to live in that captures their hearts. Mm. And this book mainly is about giving them confidence in their minds.
Well, we can.
There's that reminder in the book that ultimately their faith has to capture their heart.
Well, you said it so well. We can just end the broadcast right there, couldn't we all? And just go get the book, folks.
I was on an interview with Dr. James Kennedy, and he said, what is the most important thing for a parent to world-proof their kids? And I said, it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind.
Amen.
Because if you're passionate, and if you're walking close and tight, they're going to pick that up on that deep heart level. And sometimes we can teach to their heads. And, John Maxwell said, the longest distance in the universe can be from the head to the heart.
Mm-hmm.
But more than anything, we want to capture their hearts. And I offer in the book what I call the Dobson disclaimer, where Dr. James Dobson of Focus on the Family wrote, one who teaches God's word in this area is also a student and fellow traveler.
Mm.
God's words are true and trustworthy, and he does not need me to validate his word.
Mm.
And we are, as parents, we're all fellow travelers, wanting to nurture, wanting to encourage, wanting to instruct our kids, but knowing ultimately they will leave our cocoons, our little nests, and go out and face a world where they can live as warriors in God's kingdom story or be ineffective in that way and even seduced into the enemy camp by the world of fun and pleasure that's out there.
Mm. Well, I appreciate those thoughts and that emphasis because you've already jumped over to the middle of the book, so to speak, and talking about leading our children toward what they must find for themselves, and you deal with loving the Lord, fearing the Lord, keeping his commandments, and you've got a practical section in there on family devotions, and I would say that that's very helpful, but I wonder if we could kind of go back and maybe talk about the foundation that you lay even
you
at
bet.
The beginning of the book.
Well, I just want to make the point right up front that capturing their hearts is the most important thing. And our minds work together with our hearts in many ways. But as I said, so many things, worldproofing your kid is about equipping their minds with reasons and evidences to give them confidence that what they believe is true. But ultimately, you can know all these things in your head and God not seek the Lord with all your heart.
Yeah, I'm really glad you started
there.
Now
we've given the proper caveat, I do think we're ready to jump in.
Well, no, that's great. That's what I wanted to say. I'm glad you started there. It's all about having a heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That music means we've got to go to a break, though, okay? We'll be back in about 3 minutes. You're listening to Calling for Truth. Our very special guest today is Miss Lael Arrington. She's written a book entitled World-Proofing Your Kids. Now, this is a woman who's read Francis Schaeffer and understands him and has distilled him for us and a number of others and, of course, the Word of God. Back in 3 minutes, give us a call with questions or comments at 888-660-WLFJ.
Thanks for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. For more information about our ministry and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
Imagine if one of the discs in your spine is swollen and it applies pressure on the adjacent nerve. That right there can give you the numbness in the hand, can give you the numbness in the toes. It can give you problems with impotence, infertility. It can give you problems with dizziness, vertigo, all depending on which nerve fibers are being affected.
Say goodbye to pain and live well with Dr. Manuel Izquierdo. Wednesdays at 12:30 on Christian Talk 660.
Hi, I'm Darren Smith, and I'm the director of Providence Biblical Counseling Center. Our mission is to promote the sufficiency of Scripture in counseling through training and biblical discipleship. At Providence, our desire is to help those who are hurting and to see the lost experience salvation and the fullness of joy in Christ. Because we have freely received, we are to freely give. Therefore, our services are offered at no cost. To schedule an appointment, please call 864-420-2688. That's 420-2688.
This is Pastor Johnny Touche. Mount Moriah Baptist Church is privileged to sponsor Calling for Truth. They represent what we believe as a local church, that Christ is sufficient for salvation and sanctification, and that the Word of God will bring hope for humanity, and that our fullest joy is found in worshiping Christ. All Sunday service times are at 10:15 a.m. and 7 p.m. If we can help you with any needs, please call us at 420-1228.
Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary is now accepting applications for the fall 2006 semester. Since 1987, Greenville Seminary has been committed to training passionate preachers of the gospel in the historic Reformed faith. Located in Taylor, South Carolina, Greenville Seminary offers the Master of Divinity degree and specialized Master of Arts degrees. For more information, go to www.gpts.edu.
Welcome back to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. We appreciate you tuning in today. For more information about our ministry, the Biblical Counseling Center, and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
All right, folks, you're back in. You're listening to Calling for Truth. Now, I said just before the break that we're talking with Lael Arrington, and here's a woman who understands Francis Schaeffer. Of course, I didn't mean to imply that most women can't understand him. In fact, I think that all believers have the Holy Spirit, and all believers have a mind that God has given them, and they can understand the things of God. And so often we think that we can't for whatever the reason, but we need to understand, of course, the glory of the Lord. We need to have a heart for the Lord. That's what Miss Arrington was talking about in the first segment. That's where it starts. We've got to have that heart. We can't have head knowledge only. We've got to have a heart for the Lord. God's got to change our hearts. But we need to understand some things about the Christian worldview, and we need to teach these things to our children so that they will be equipped to stand when they get bombarded by others with opposing worldviews. And not only do we want them to stand, but we want them to be faithful witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ, giving an account of the hope that lies within them. So I just want to say to the ladies out there, this is a wonderful book. It's going to help you with your kids, but you're going to learn some stuff too. And I say that again because I learned some stuff. I don't know everything. I'll not know everything even when I die. Did you know, Kevin, and I don't mean to get off track here, but I'm going to spend eternity, you're going to spend eternity learning more and more about God because he's infinite. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, yeah, little finite minds can't fully comprehend in the true sense of the word.
That's right. So great book. So, Miss Arrington, if you don't mind, you talk in the first part about understanding our turbulent times,
mm-hmm.
and we've lost in our culture a lot of concepts like liberty and justice and unalienable rights. And you talk a little bit about God's world and how that if you view his world from that biblical perspective, life, in fact, does have meaning. But there are a lot of women, for example, just to use that group since we're primarily talking to women today,
mm-hmm.
but I would say men as well. But there are a lot of women who don't necessarily understand all of these cultural issues and the influences that are brought to bear upon our children, and they take a number of different approaches with regard to that lack of understanding.
Yes, and, you know, I think that that is so much of a factor of what pulls at women's lives. You know, so many times they are so involved with the details of their children's lives, with maybe working outside of the home and taking care of a family. And, you know, hey, so many things pull at their time and attention that if you start to say, well, now, hey, let's take, you know, what have you thought about what's real? Is God real? What does it mean to be a human? Is God involved in our affairs? Do, you know, does he just let us do his thing, or does he really help us find parking spaces at the mall the day after Thanksgiving? How do we know what's true? How do we have confidence that what we believe is true? How do we judge what's right and wrong? You know, I mean, sometimes you can raise those larger, big questions of life, and I know, as a mom, I mean, sometimes your eyes just glaze over, and you're like, you know, I'm just trying to get the kids to school, get their homework done, and get dinner on the table. And on the weekend, it's like, hey, can we just go to the mall and buy something? So, you know, life just tugs and pulls at us, and yet it is so important to occasionally, at least, focus on the larger picture, those big life questions, because our kids will come at us. I got a letter from one mom whose daughter came to her when she first encountered the concept of evolution, and she came to her and she said, Mom, I've been lying awake at night thinking about evolution because I know that if I believe in it, I will lose my faith in God.
Mm.
And if we haven't been prepared on some level to deal with those questions, we never know when we're going to ask, when we're going to be needing that to
mm-hmm.
give to our children to strengthen their confidence that their faith is true.
Yeah. Mm. One of the things I appreciate about your writing style is very engaging, and you talk about how, you know, we can take different approaches to this, you know, milieu of ideas in which we find ourselves today. You know, the Miss Scarlet approach. Well,
yes.
Fiddle-dee-dee, I'll just worry about it tomorrow.
Yeah, think about that today. I'll think about that tomorrow.
Yeah. And
with a good Southern accent.
That's exactly right. And you mentioned a couple of others, but then you move from that to say, you know what, we've got to teach our kids some presuppositions, the presuppositions of the Christian faith, and you talk about God's grand story.
Mm-hmm. And I think that that is something that we need to constantly be setting before our kids. It's something I talk a little bit more in my third book, God's Sight, Renewing the Eyes of Our Heart, that we minister not only to their minds and their heart, but their imaginations as well. And, man, we live in this visual culture that is continually tugging at these kids.
Mm.
But do they have an imagination for God's kingdom story of creation, fall, redemption, and God's invitation to enjoy life as his agent of redemption in this world, and to have confidence that the larger story is true? Or are we just all living in our own small stories, just trying to, even our own small Christian story, trying to make it as interesting and comfortable as we can.
You bring out in the book about how that kids, you know, are kind of lost as to how in the world did we get to this place? You know, how did everything become so crazy? And by talking with them about God's grand story, as you term it in the book, it gives them this this foundation and this footing so that they can then look at certain things like secularization and what's happening in the youth culture and all of these types of things and have some sort somewhere to hang their hat to understand how these things came about. Speak
right.
about
some
that
people call it a story to live in.
Mm.
Are we living in God's kingdom story of creation, fall, redemption as a family?
Mm. What do you think about, has there been this progress where first we saw the secularization take place and then, you know, of course, everything that happened there in the youth culture of the 60s and all of those types of things where these first seeds were planted, but now we're into full-blown relativism, wouldn't you say?
Right, and, you know, and I, those are big, you know, SAT words that I kind of review in the book to talk about that, you know, what does it mean to know truth, to be confident that what we believe is true? Is there really objective truth that's true for all people for all time? Or is truth just relative to my wants and needs? My truth is what works for me. And, you know, we live in these postmodern times where our view of truth has shrunk, and I talk about this briefly in one of my resource boxes in the book that kind of summarizes some of the big ideas to talk about with your kids. I talk about how we've moved from the Christian or the pre-modern story that can maybe be summarized by Abraham Lincoln's great phrases in the Battle Hymn of the Republic, where it's God's truth is marching on, this big view of truth that holds us all to the same view of the world and the same standard, to, as you said, coming in with modernism at the turn of the century and especially coming into full flower in the 60s, you know, this view that, well, truth is what science tells us on the public level, but truth is what my heart tells me on the private level. Until now, there's great doubt. In these postmodern times, there's great doubt that truth even exists, and truth is all reduced to personal opinion.
One of the things that I focused in on in my last lecture at the youth camp that Kevin mentioned earlier was relativism, and it's so important to talk about that with our kids because that is the philosophical mindset of this culture. And a borrowed from Greg Kochel, Seven Fatal Flaws of Relativism, that he points out in his book. We had him on the broadcast. And if you explain to your kids what relativism is and how it functions and then how it really is self-contradictory, they can get that. They can understand that, and they can know why the Christian worldview is the only worldview that makes sense out of our world.
Right, because even the relativist or the postmodernist that stands there and says, no truth is absolute. Well, what about the statement that you just said?
Right.
If no truth is absolute, then your statement is not absolutely true, and, you know, nothing makes any sense, and your whole argument kind of falls in on your own head.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, you mentioned that a lot of the mothers are very busy, and, you know, they're just catching very little snippets of some of these discussions that we have, but I have noticed that, you know, the whole idea of culture war, about worldviews, these types of terms that we use on a regular basis now, are now becoming more mainstream. You know, people are using this terminology and understand a little bit more of what we're talking about. But define for us, you know, the culture war, it's not Christians versus non-Christians, right? And it's not even a war between the denominations. It's not Baptist versus Presbyterians or something along that line. What is the culture war between?
Well, it is over, at its heart, it's over what is truth.
Mm.
Is truth revealed revelation from God and as we seek to interpret that truth, do we dig as deep as we can to find the author's intent of the words of truth? Or is truth, you know, what we've been talking about? Is it relative? Is it what my group says it is? Is it what, it doesn't really matter what the author of these words said in truth. What matters is what this truth means to me and how it might work in my life or how I might stretch it or flex it or bend it around my problem or my needs or my wants or my desires. And in each denomination, it seems like there is this tug of war between those who want to hold on to God's truth as authoritative and those who lack confidence in that authoritative word of God and want to say, well, we have to depend much more. You know, times are changing, meaning is unfolding, truth is unfolding, and we need to be we need to turn to other sources of moral authority besides just the revealed word of God, and we need to be much more flexible in our interpretation, and so that you get a lot of the opinion of man, much more of the opinion and authority of men mixed with the authority of God. And I think that is ultimately at the heart of our cultural battles. It's, you know, what is the source of moral authority? Mm. Is it revealed and we find it in Revelation, or is it discovered out there, or do I create it myself?
Mm. Well, Paul, I think, you know, this discussion that we're having here, you know, it may sound like a theological discussion, but as we're talking to moms here today, these things have practical ramifications in the raising of their children. And, you know, we as parents need to notice that, because it's going to come out each and every day in the schoolyard and in the home.
And even in discipline, if you stand before your children saying,
yeah, hold on just a sec. Hold the thought. Sorry. Leia, we'll be right back. Got to go to a break, okay?
You're listening to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. You can visit our website at callingfortruth.org, where you will find archives of past shows, Dr. Dean's crosswalk commentary, audio sermons, and other helpful resources at callingfortruth.org.
On your way to work, tune in to Christian Worldview Today.
What about somebody that wants to exercise their freedom of speech by spraying graffiti on the Washington Monument? Now, that's freedom of speech. You know, they need to express their political views by spraying graffiti on the Washington Monument. Isn't that protected speech? Of course not.
Listen to Christian Worldview Today with Dr. Tony Bean, weekday mornings from 7 to 9 on Christian Talk 660.
Are you captive to the sin of pornography, gluttony, gambling, or homosexuality? Setting Captives Free exists to offer Christ-centered hope and freedom to those in the grips of sin through accountability to Bible-based truth, resulting in the free enjoyment of life in and for the glory of God. Be set free by the truth of God's Word through daily Bible study and accountability. Log on to settingcaptivesfree.com today and begin your journey to freedom in Christ.
Hi, I'm Darren Smith, and I'm the director of Providence Biblical Counseling Center. Our mission is to promote the sufficiency of Scripture in counseling through training and biblical discipleship. At Providence, our desire is to help those who are hurting and to see the lost experience salvation and the fullness of joy in Christ. Because we have freely received, we are to freely give. Therefore, our services are offered at no cost. To schedule an appointment, please call 864-420-2688. That's 420-2688.
You're listening to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church, located at 2020 Gibshoals Road in Greer, and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. To find out more about our ministry, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. If you have a question or a comment on today's topic, please call 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Now here are the host of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, Lael Arrington says the culture war is not Christians versus non-Christians. And I think she's right. She says that our nation is divided over the source of moral authority. Is the source of moral authority somewhere out there? Is the source of moral authority ourselves? Or is the source of moral authority revelation, that is, revealed truth, that is, revealed truth from the Lord Jesus Christ, from God Himself? And obviously, we're going to say the source of moral authority is God. Our special guest today is Lael Arrington. She is the author of Worldproofing Your Kids, Helping Moms Prepare Their Kids to Navigate Today's Turbulent Times. Now, Miss Arrington said we were using some SAT words a minute ago, and that's true. And we're using those words because she uses them. Listen to this. You know you need to read this book if you think a multiculturalist is someone who subscribes to the symphony, the ballet, and the opera. Let me just give you one or two more of these, Kevin, because these are interesting. You need to read this book if you stand on the rim of the Grand Canyon and feel tempted to cave into Charles Darwin and Carl Sagan. I like this one. You need to read this book if you picked up one of Francis Schaeffer's books to read, and by the fourth page you found yourself wondering if the socks you just put in the wash We're going to bleed on your husband's favorite T-shirt. Well, she gets into some deep things here, but she puts them down where we can get them, and she gives practical helps throughout the book to help us to learn how to teach these critical things, worldview things, worldview issues, ultimate questions. She gets us to think in these terms and helps us to give this kind of truth and this kind of thinking to our kids. And I'm grateful for the book. And, Lael, I think the conversation is going so well. Again, I just want to thank you here at the bottom of the hour one more time for being on the broadcast.
Well, thank you so much. It's a delight to be with you and your audience. And we were talking about the break, before the break, about that the great difference between the source of moral authority in our lives. Do we discover it in God's Word, or do we create it on our own? And I was going to mention one of the places where that comes so into play, and I mention it as a good example, an everyday example in our book, is do we stand before our children saying, we believe that lying is wrong because God says it is wrong, and because every word we speak in the sight of God, and our words matter to God. Or do we just say, well, I don't like you to lie, and, you know, that doesn't make your sister feel good. And, I mean, those may be the consequences, but it's always good to point back to that source of moral authority, because the older our kids get, if we present the rules as our own personal opinions, the older they get, the more they value their own opinion. And it's their opinion versus your opinion. And it's so wonderful to have a rock and a foundation of moral authority to build our family life on.
Well, I think that's true, and that really provides for us a nice segue into what you deal with next, and that is this question: what happens when we follow our heart instead of our conscience? And you talk about how things are so subjective in our culture today. Even the judicial system, you know, where, you know, folk or judges or whoever are trying to be socially helpful, but because they've gone the way to subjectivism, we really find ourselves in moral chaos.
Right. And, you know, it's always the cry of compassion, which is something I talk about a little bit more in some chapters on what does it mean to be human. Talking about abortion and animal rights and euthanasia. It's always the cry for compassion, the hard cases that it's like these walls of protection have been erected by God's Word and the wisdom of the ages, and they protect our families so that we cannot even see the dangers that toss and swirl on the other side. But so many times in the name of compassion, people just, you know, take little pickaxes to that wall and chink, 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 chink to try to bring it down because they see the way the wall hurts, but they have no idea how the consequences on the other side can bring pressure to bear. As we adopt more and more this ethic of life that you are how you perform, and, you know, if you get old and can't be as productive, why don't you do the generous thing to your family and just, you know, take that pill that doesn't drain their resources or their time or their talents. And we can't imagine the destructive influence on families that will bring crashing through that chink in the wall should it truly fall. And we can't imagine the pressure that a weak or a helpless older person would feel when they are the drain on their family's resources and everyone's thinking, you know, the helpful thing here, Granny, would be to check out.
You talk about in your book, Lael, a number of other issues like that are extremely important for us to understand and be able to defend the Christian worldview, the gospel, against some of these things that have invaded our society. But I wanted to move down and make sure that we get to this point, because I think it's so important, especially to the women that are listening. They, like you mentioned in the very beginning, that you know, many Christian women just find it such a balancing act to try to discover these things and spend some time learning about them. And I think, you know, some of them have determined that, you know, these might just be discussions, trying to answer questions that nobody's even asking, just highbrow theological discussions. And I tried to make the point that, no, they really have practical implications. Let's talk about this one, about balancing motives for work. There's a lot of Christian women that need to work outside the home, and in order to send their children to good Christian schools, or you know, just to make a living in this life. Talk about that issue, and you talk about contentment and the pursuit of the American dream. Let's take just a couple minutes to talk about those types of things that you write about in the book.
Well, there are actually two chapters that deal with that. One is called Confessions of a Fellow Frog, and it refers to the frog in the kettle of affluence that just gets heated up and heated up and heated up until he's consumed before he knows it. Whereas if the frog jumps in and realizes how hot the water is immediately, he will, if possible, jump back out.
Mm-hmm.
And we do. We live in that kettle of American affluence where what we expect out of life is so shaped by the culture around us.
Mm.
And so the challenge to us is to, once again, turn our imaginations not toward the glossy mags and our neighbor's vacation pictures and, you know, those visual, very visual temptations to imagine the world that we could have if we had more, the world of more stuff and more travel and more leisure and more fun. But again, turn back to that larger kingdom story that says God created the world and he did all this so that, Acts 17, we might reach out and we might reach out in the hopes of finding him and seeking him and find him, though he's not very far from each one of us, and that we are invited not to just be saved so that we'll go to heaven when we die, but to be his agent of redemption in this life. It's real interesting to look at the way the gospel's presented in the book of Acts over and over again. There's really not much talk of heaven or hell. The emphasis is on living with God and having times of refreshment with him and being this agent of redemption in his kingdom. And I think so often we think that, you know, we ask kids today, okay, what's the purpose and meaning of life? Ooh, have fun. And, you know, subtly we can sort of disagree and yet arrange our time and our calendar and our finances that way.
We talked about it a little bit on the program yesterday, but also you mentioned, I think, here in the book, the term you keep using is richer life. John Piper said that, you know, that the real tragedy is not so much that people get involved in these things that, you know, the worldly type things, as much as that they settle for the earthly pleasures that we have here when they're created with a capacity to find their pleasure in God.
Right.
And in the things of God. And yet we settle for these lesser things.
Because we do not value, we don't enjoy and value the things that God says have ultimate value until something like 9/11 comes along and the curtain is ripped back and we immediately know what is most important and most valuable. But then the danger, you know, the danger subsides and we kind of all fall back into life in the American affluent bubble as usual, and we forget what is truly important. I mean, you get news of a danger to some person in your family, and immediately you get those values. You touch the feeling of, oh, no, this is the most important thing. And, of course, God's invitation is to not just feel that way in crisis, but to live that way and know the joy of living that way.
Amen.
We're under a minute before the next break, Lael, so we'll have to be brief, and I apologize. But I just want to point out to the listeners that you really do give some practical counsel here in terms of developing that Puritan work ethic. And I know that a lot of folk, when they hear the word Puritan, they kind of go, what? What are you talking about? But we're talking about godly people who enjoyed God.
The work ethic that built this country and made it what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
It made it so different from so many other countries in the world.
That's right. Building community versus the looter's mentality. You
right.
talk about, yeah, and so work and the richer life, and you talk about working in the Father's image and with heart and excellence, taking care of your family. All of these things are so important, and I just want to point out to the listeners, you deal with these things very practically and very helpfully.
And it is a challenge to
yes.
impart that to our kids.
Yes, it is. Well, I tell you what, let's go to the last break, and when we come back, we might touch on one or two other issues, but we'll be you know, racing for the finish. And if you want to give us a call, if you want to talk to Miss Arrington, you still have time. I really haven't given the phone number but one time today. Sorry about that. But here it is, 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. You're listening to Calling for Truth. Our special guest today, Lael Arrington.
Thanks for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. For more information about our ministry and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
At Christian Talk 660, it's our desire to be good stewards of the resources that God has entrusted to us. One of the ways we can do this is through our free inspirational announcement program for pastors in our community. More information is available by clicking on the Inspo Program link on the left nav bar, at ChristianTalk660.com, or by calling our business office toll-free at 1-800-849-8930. Christian Talk 660, your partner in ministry.
Hello, this is Karen Hoover of Southern Stone, located on Dry Pocket Road in Greer. We started business in 1994 as the first manufactured stone installer in upstate South Carolina. We specialize in stone masonry for custom residential and commercial projects. Together, we bring over 55 years of experience to help you achieve the look you want. Call Southern Stone for a free estimate at 879-3008 or check out the idea gallery at southernstoneinc.com.
When we play backyard football, we always play at my friend's house, and there's most of the time there's a pass when I barely get it in there before one of my other friends tips it away to something. I'm always like, yes.
1MillionDads.com salutes the dads of America.
If it weren't for my dad, I probably wouldn't want to as much, because I wouldn't have someone to throw football with all the time, or he teaches me about my form and how to throw and what I'm doing wrong or what I'm doing right and everything.
Dad, you're having a tremendous influence on our nation's children. We at 1MillionDads.com say thanks. 1MillionDads.com, the online team of fathers who are dedicated to stopping the exploitation of our children, especially by the entertainment media. It's free to join, and it won't take much of your time. Find out more when you visit us on the web at www.1MillionDads.com.
Welcome back to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. Providence Baptist Church and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship are dedicated to making disciples who make disciples. If you would like more information on our biblical counseling materials, log on to callingfortruth.org. Now here are the hosts of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
All right, let me give you some contact information for our guest today, because I know you're going to want to get some of her resources, particularly this book, Worldproofing Your Kids, Helping Moms Prepare Their Kids to Navigate Today's Turbulent Times. We're talking, of course, about Lael Arrington. She's written a couple of other books. We mentioned one earlier, Pilgrim's Progress Today. And she's also written God's Sight, Renewing the Eyes of Our Hearts. She also hosts a radio program, The Things That Matter Most, and that's on KSEV 700 AM. And Ms. Lael, I assume that's in the Houston area?
Yes, it is, but we do have a website, thethingsthatmattermost.org, where we post our radio programs, our weekly radio programs, that deal with lots of these issues, and they're downloadable or listenable on your computer in an MP3 file.
Well, great. We're going to put that information on our website. Folk are familiar with that. Let me give it one more time, however. It's
thethingsthatmattermost.org.
Okay, and then your website is just Lael
Arrington. Arrington, L-A-E-L, Arrington with an A, .com.
All right, LaelArrington.com. And we'll post that as well if you didn't get that. And we're going to talk about two or three other issues in the book. I want to turn to one of my favorite chapters for a lot of reasons. And, Kevin, I thought that the chapter on evolution.
Yeah, where it came from. Yeah. You know, it was, she mentioned in the book here about, you know, where a child coming in and asking, you know, where did I come from? It reminded me of a funny story that I heard about a little boy. He came running into the house one day, and he mentioned to his mom, she was in the kitchen working, and he said, "Mom, where did I come from?" And she thought, "Oh, man, this is it." And so took him into the living room and pulled out the biology books and a little slide presentation, and an hour and a half later, all about reproduction and all of these charts and all this, said to the little boy, you know, sitting there all glassy-eyed, and she said to him, "Now, Johnny, do you get this? Do you know now where you came from?" And he said, "Well, yeah. I was just curious because Jimmy next door said they were from Michigan, and I was wondering where I came from." And so sometimes we can overreact to some of these things, but tell us what you say in the book here about when that question comes. Where did I come from?
Well, I am not a technical person. Mm. I can understand the scientists talking about it up to a certain level, and then beyond that, my eyes glaze over. So I try to take up some fairly complex information and distill it into user-friendly summary of some of the big discussion points that you can have with your child over Darwinian evolution versus design, intelligent design and creation. And I sum that up in sort of a tongue-in-cheek discussion that I call the top 10 things to believe about the fact, top 10 reasons to believe the fact of evolution. And, of course, mm-hmm. fact is in quotes mm-hmm. because it's all tongue-in-cheek. And all the reasons to believe in evolution begin with the word assume. Mm-hmm. Assume this, assume that, assume that. You know, although since a white-peppered moth can become a dark-peppered moth, that a frog can become a prince given millions of years. Or, you know, assume that even though proteins are needed to make DNA and DNA is needed to make proteins, somehow one of them popped up first without the other one. So, and then I'll give a little brief explanation of, you know, exactly what that means. But it's meant to be, as I say, very user-friendly for the non and written in non-techno jargon so that a mom can sit down and talk about some really solid scientific evidence with her kids to give them confidence that what they believe is true.
You know, that's one piece that we didn't tell anybody about in the book here, but I hope that they could pick it up, is that you do mix in some humor here, like you said, some tongue-in-cheek. And I'm trying to look at my notes here for the one that talked about Eve's leather dress. There it is, Animal Rights versus Eve's Leather Dress. And so you've got some titles and some, you know, some funny stories in here, and mix it with humor as well, which I think it makes it so that it's a very good read.
Well, I hope so. I mean, that's the person that God has wired me to be, mm-hmm. and so I enjoy inviting people into that kind of discussion where we really talk turkey about the big questions of life and some abstract terms and some involved evidence, but we, you know, we put it down on an accessible level and do it with a good dollop of humor.
Well,
quotation from Irma Bombeck here and there or whatever.
That's right, and I appreciate that. And I don't want to, you know, overemphasize, but you do talk about some philosophical assumptions underlying evolution, but again, you know, you do it in that comical way. We're living in a material world, and we're all material girls. But then you talk about some of the sciences you mentioned, the DNA versus the protein, et cetera. And so, again, you're dealing with both sides of the issue, and you're putting it down there where we can get it. And that's why I really wanted to recommend that chapter. You know, all the book, but that chapter alone I think is great in terms of what our kids are facing today in this world in terms of that naturalistic or evolutionary worldview. Let's turn our discussion, because we've got about 5 minutes maybe. You talk a little bit about leisure and the entertainment culture, leisure and the richer life. You know, what about leisure from that Christian perspective?
Well, that goes back to the discussion we were having earlier. You know, are we here primarily to work or to have leisure?
Right.
And leisure is to recreate us for our work. Mm. And our work is to be seen as being a partner with God in accomplishing His redemptive work in this kingdom here on earth. That from the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." Mm. That is the banner over each and every day. Mm. But of course, we do have those times where we do have those optional hours for recreation, the times that recreate our energy and refill our tanks for the work that God calls us to. And so, yes, how do we deal with those? And I really talk in the book about using leisure time to develop within our children a love for the richer life, an appreciation for the arts and some good resources to use to do that, to not always listening to the yeah, baby, baby stuff in our home, but you know, to listen to a little classical music occasionally, or to take in an organ concert or a Handel's Messiah concert at Christmas, and to talk about the beauty. And I talked about taking a bunch of students to listen to that sort of concert one time and then getting in the van afterwards, and immediately the radio comes on and says, hey, baby, baby. And, it, you know, they can tell.
Yeah.
No, they know beauty when they are exposed to it. They know depth. They know, you know, they know the richer life and the things of the richer life when they see it. To develop a love for nature in a way that reflects an appreciation for God's handiwork. To engage in sports, not in a way that becomes the reason for being. It was interesting. I was talking with a friend just last night about her son who plays in the major leagues, and he said, he was quoted in an article saying, you know, I don't need these sports. And God and my family is really what I need.
Mm.
And so that we don't get our whole sense of joy and passion and transcendence out of sports, but that we keep it in the proper perspective. And a discussion in the book of, you know, how to handle wins and how to handle losses in a way that just nurtures the recreational aspect of that, of sports in God's kingdom, and not that it's the end-all, be-all of our existence.
It just might be a little late for, not enough time left over for me to bring this up, but it just brought up a thought that I mentioned on Sunday morning when I was teaching a Sunday school class about relativism from Greg Kokel's book. And I threw out the question about what do we think about this upwards movement that's on today about upwards basketball and upwards this and that. And from what I think in its pure form, not everybody runs it this way, but that they don't keep score and everybody's a winner. I was saying that I think that this might be a little bit of spillage over from the relativism that we have in our society today. What do you guys think? I'm just throwing this out at the end of the broadcast.
Well, I think a lot depends on a child's personality. If a child's pretty laid back, that may be just the ticket for them.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just in it to enjoy the, you know, circle and everybody wins and everybody has fun. And some kids really have leadership potential. They have a real drive to know the joy of winning and overcoming and of striving and doing their very best. And they may be the ones that are more oriented towards the, you know, the more competitive leagues. I would take a cue from a child there.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, too. Let me just jump in here on this, Kevin, because we're about out of time, unfortunately.
Right.
You know, you're talking about the music a minute ago. We were on our way down to youth camp last week, and we had the radio on because they had kids in the car, and they were listening to sort of the popular stuff. And when the commercial came on, I turned it over, and Handel's Messiah, Miss Leia, was actually playing on the radio.
Uh-huh.
And it was one of those songs that most folk wouldn't be familiar with. But I just started listening to it and asked the kids, all right, now who is this? They took about two or three guesses, and finally one of them said, that's Handel. And I was so thankful for that. And so
Yay.
We listened to that for a little while. And then another station I found, they were singing And Can It Be?
Mm.
And so I started singing along, and then the kids got out of the car. But anyway.
Well, there's no doubt that that higher level of artistic challenge affects their imagination and their person in a different way. It enhances their vocabulary.
Yeah.
It develops more attentiveness. It works with their imagination a different way. It brings truth to life. It develops cultural literacy. It broadens their horizon. These are all things that I talk about in the book and real reasons to really think about how we give the richer life to our kids in leisure time.
That's it. Well, we're under 30 seconds, unfortunately. Let me mention your last chapter is about Christians' involvement in the political arena. Can't talk about it, but I want the folks to pick it up because I think you've got some good things to say there. Miss Lael Arrington, thank you for being on the broadcast today. We do appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much, Paul and Kevin. It's been my honor, and I, to your audience, my prayer for you is that you would live in God's kingdom story more and more every day, that you would catch that vision, and then you would pass it on to your kids.
Amen. Amen. We appreciate that. Back tomorrow on Calling for Truth.
Thanks again for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. To contact us for more information about our ministry, the resources that we have to offer, or to make a tax-deductible donation to our ministry, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship. If you have enjoyed today's program, be sure to join us each weekday at 1 o'clock for Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660 WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of his